Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Ian Adams. And as always, it's an honor and it's a privilege to be able to come together with the people of God on Wednesday night as we explore the Word of God together. God is truly in the blessing business, and He just wants us to recognize Him in all of the things that we do. And that's why I say thank you, God. As always, it's Wednesday night, and we come together. We are a family. This is a family, and we are family members if we belong to the body of Christ. The Word of God says there's one body with many members, and each member play a significant part. So I want to let you know that God has a purpose and a plan that's uniquely designed for you. But you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. Our lesson tonight is entitled, No Excuse That You Will Ever Be Able to Give Can Hold Up. It's like I'm saying, it's time out for excuses. Because no excuse that you make going to be able to hold up. Our lesson is coming from the book of Luke, the 14th chapter, the 15th through the 24th verse. I ask you guys to read the whole 14th chapter because you could get an understanding of what Jesus was doing and why He was doing it and what He was saying and what was the intended purpose of His teaching. You got to remember that He was teaching them, but also that He have the Word of God in its printed text, the Bible, which is teaching us. So the title of the lesson is No Excuse That You Could Ever Give Can Hold Up. And we're coming from Luke. As always, we have to go to the throne of grace. And I usually play a song, and I'm playing a song that's called Justified, because I want everyone to know that if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you are justified. You are made the righteousness of God. And all that God has for His people is also for you. So I'm going to play this song, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to go to the throne of grace. And then we're going to explore the Word of God together.
My sins had their way. I
never would have made it with a debt I just couldn't afford to pay. He came and saved me when the enemy said that I couldn't. God said, go ahead, because you're covered by my awesome, awesome power.
song is letting you know everything in your life, God did it. You know, there's nothing in life that can happen unless God orchestrated or allow it. You know, where you are, where you want to be, or where you've been, and where you are now, it's all predicated on God. God took you out of, you know, certain situations, and he's waiting to take you out even more. God promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and he's right there in the middle of everything that's happening in our lives. And if you're going through something right now, a situation, a trial, or a tribulation, don't feel like a loner. And don't feel that God has left you, because God is in the middle of everything that's going on in your life. That's why you should say thank you. It is now time to go to the throne of grace, and I see that my grandson has called in on the line. He's back in New Orleans now, praise be to God. He traveled and he came back safe. That's a blessing. So at this time, I'm going to open a mic and allow Madison to go forth in Jesus' name. Madison? Hello? Sound like the line is open, but no one came. So would someone else do the privilege of giving the prayer to go before the throne of grace tonight? Anyone who would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic for you. Anyone in the audience who would like to pray, press the one button. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. You have allowed us to come together to explore your word. Lord, I have to say thank you. I have to say glory be to your wonderful name. I have to say, God, I'm so glad that you allow us to come together on Wednesday night. Lord, I ask that the Holy Ghost give all of the listeners illumination and revelation, dear God, and that your word not return void, and we can hear from the word of God something that can straighten us in our lives, that we'll walk and allow you to lead us. Heavenly Father, be with us. Touch each and every one of us. Lord, there's one of our callers that has debt in his family. His name is Lamont Chambers. He's on the line, dear God. I just got a text that his brother died, dear God. So please, dear God, allow him and his family to be able to go on with the loss of their loved one, Lord. And I'm asking that each and every one of us pray for him. Call him out by name, Lamont Chambers. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others we ask in Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. And I do have someone that pressed the button. Caller, your number is 504-355-62. Your mic is open.
Yeah, hi, Ms. Fan. This is Kathy Fosford. I pushed it too close tonight, but haven't, praise God. I was going to pray for you, but you've done it anyway, and you've done a very good job. So I was just trying to do it for you. But
you can
pray.
Still pray.
Okay. Heavenly Father, I want to just take this time and say thank you for everything. It's a blessing to be online with Ms. Diane tonight and all the other callers that's on the phone. And we just want to put your hands on Ms. Diane and let her give us this word, because it's very convenient for all of us not to have to go to a building. We can be in our living room, kitchen, doing whatever we need to take and do, and praise you at the same time. So we want to thank you for that, and thank you for uplifting her into the word that we're going to go in tonight with Luke. And hopefully everybody will be tested and fed up with the word tonight. We want to say hallelujah and amen. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Sister Kathy Foxworth. Thank you so much for that prayer.
You're welcome. I love you.
Love you too. There's never too much prayer. Caller, there's a caller. Your number is 255. I don't know if you would like to do something at this time, 255-20. If so, you could press the 1 button. If not, we're going to go ahead because I can't tell. Caller 255-20. All righty. We're going to go ahead with the lesson. And the lesson we're going to do tonight, like I said, is coming from the book of Luke. As always, we go into background. The book of Luke was written by Luke. Y'all remember certain things about Luke. He was a physician. He traveled around with Paul. He wrote the book of Luke. He also wrote the book of Acts. And Luke was not a Jew. He was the only Jew, really, to write a book in the Bible. But God saw fit and he used him. And that's a blessing because Luke was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. So I just gave that little information to keep you abreast on Luke. You know, when our lesson tonight started, it was when our lesson tonight, which is in the 14th chapter of Luke, which we're going to expound on the 15th through the 24th verse, I asked you guys to read the 14th chapter of Luke, and I pray that, you know, you could have, because it's showing you what Jesus was doing, why he was doing it, and what messages in there for us. You see, the 14th chapter of Luke opened up with Jesus on a Sabbath day at the house of a prominent Pharisee. You know, the Pharisee that had invited Jesus there, he didn't want him there just to fellowship with him. But he wanted to use that opportunity to trap Jesus into saying or doing something for which he could be arrested. Remember, at this time, they were trying to find anything that they could and use it to take Jesus down. They wanted to get rid of him at any cost necessary. Jesus was on their turf. He was at their house, at their table. But he wasn't afraid to face him. And he knew that their purpose was to trick him into breaking the law. You see, Jesus at this time, and I spoke about in other weeks, Jesus began talking and teaching in parables. His time was running out. Jesus began his ministry at age 30, and at age 33, he was crucified. This teaching that you're going to see tonight is during the time that it was getting close to the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. And Jesus began to speak in parables because he said a parable can be understood for those who want to understand it, not people that are indifferent to the message that he's trying to do. So they had Jesus at the dinner. They wanted to trap him. You see, Jesus was getting a lot of attention. And the Pharisees was the pious people of that time. They studied the law, and everybody during that time looked at them as a great leader, a smart man, a one who to go to when you don't understand something. And you see, Jesus came in some of their fame was being pointed towards Jesus, and they did not like it. And they were always plotting to find a way to take him down. You see, in that 14th chapter, when it opened, there was a man who had dropsy. That was a disease, the swelling of the body. And there Jesus asked the Pharisees, the man had the disease, and they all at the table. And see, Jesus is so cunning and so smart, and he could really kind of read your mind. So they had a man there that had a disease, and Jesus asked the Pharisees, because remember, this was on the Sabbath day. All of this 14th chapter was happening on a Sabbath day. You see, and Jesus asked the Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Jesus asked them, and they didn't answer him because they didn't want their answer to not be acceptable and for the cause the people to look at them a certain way. So rather than saying something, they didn't answer Jesus. So what Jesus did, he healed the man, and he kept on moving. Follow the plot, y'all. Then Jesus asked, if a child or an ox would fall in a well on the Sabbath day, would you not pull him out? You see, he's telling this to the Pharisees because they were so strict about the law. And they were so strict about what you could do and what you couldn't do on a Sabbath day. And look like Jesus is just trying to get them, hey, use a little common sense, guys. So he asked them. He healed the man, which was against the law to do any healing on a Sabbath. And then he came back and said, let's think about it. If you had a child or ox that go in a well, would you not get him? You see, the Pharisees was hooked on a law, but they didn't know how to love, which was God's intended purpose. You see, the law was never intended to be a burden, but to show us our sins and our need for a Savior. You see, the Pharisees had begun attaching all kind of rules to the original laws, and they had now grown over 600 in numbers, really 613 to be exact. That's how many laws was attached to the laws. We know the law, the Ten Commandments that Jesus gave to Moses. Now, after the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribe and the Sanhedrin council back in those days beginning to add to it and to add to it, and now it's 613 laws. And most of the laws that they implemented in, they left out of love and looked like they threw away all common sense. You see, the Bible in Mark 2:27 says, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You know, there's some people that I study with, and they always tell me, because the Bible says, Ms. Diane, if they say don't add anything to it or take anything out of it, they take it so literally. But once you study and get precept upon precept and you understand and read, you'll know what Jesus is trying to say, what was the intent of the things that he did, and what does it mean for you. If you leave all that out, you're going to only see face value, and you're going to only want to deal with that. But you see, they were so hooked on the Sabbath, and here the teaching show us tonight that was in Mark that I read, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You see, Jesus was reiterating the principle that the Sabbath rest. What the Sabbath was all about, rest. He said, don't do this on a Sunday, don't do that, you know, on a Sabbath. It was about rest. God knew that his people would need rest. That was the intention. And he also was showing us that one day he's going to give us eternal rest, which is going to be in the New Jerusalem. He also said with that was once we accept his son, we would enter a rest. And Sabbath mean rest. You see, Sabbath was instituted to relieve man of his labor. Just as he came to relieve us from attempting to achieve salvation by our works. You know, you're not working to be saved, but because you are saved, you should work. There's no kind of work that you could do, and you could never be good enough to be saved on your own. You see, we no longer rest only for one day, but forever. We are to cease from labor to obtain God's favor. I came to tell you tonight, there's nothing that you could do that could make God love you anymore. Because if you think about, you know, I'm loving on God now and I'm going to be so much better and I'm going to follow the rules and all of that's good. And most of it is just to help you. Because God is going to be God. But you got to realize, before you went looking for God, and you probably never went looking for him, but God is constantly looking for us. You see, even when we was in our sin, God came and took us in. So if he loved us enough while we was in sin to take us in and gave his son to die for our sins, what more love can he give? So, yes, you're supposed to be obedient. Yes, you're supposed to do what's right because it's the right thing to do. But you don't have to labor for God's favor. Remember, grace is a gift, unmerited. It's nothing you could have done to earn grace. Grace was bestowed upon you by God. You see, the Pharisees totally misinterpreted the appropriation against carrying burdens on the Sabbath. Prohibition. You know, when you think about prohibition, you know, in the old days, you know, when they didn't want them to sell liquor, you know, and it was a law, you know, they did a prohibition. But they misinterpret the prohibition against carrying burdens on the Sabbath. You see, they decreed that a person was guilty for breaking a Sabbath if they carried, watch this, some of the things they had implemented in the law. A person was guilty of breaking the Sabbath if he carried a sheet of paper or any food that weighed as much as a dry fig. They was going for, huh, y'all? Or if he carried more than one swallow of milk. And he shouldn't, you know, anointing was popular back then, but he shouldn't have, he should only have enough oil to anoint a small part of his body. All of this seemed ludicrous, huh? But the Pharisees had put it in the law, and they expected the people to follow the rules. So here Jesus is on the Sabbath day, and he healed the man with the disease. You see, in the gospel, the Pharisees are often presented as hypocritical and proud opponents against Jesus. The Lord stated it brutally. They do not practice what they preach. Talking about the Pharisees. As a general rule, the Pharisees were self-righteous and they smugged at others in their delusions that they were pleasing God because they kept the law, a part of it at least. You see, the Pharisees said that they believed the whole Old Testament. They tried to obey all God's laws, but often they pretended to be holy than they really were. They obeyed many unimportant rules, but often they fail to obey God's most important rules. Y'all know anybody like that? And they refused to listen to Jesus. They cared more about than their religion, and y'all know religion is not, it's man-made, than about God. And I just want to let you know, because whenever we look at the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the Republicans, and the Sanhedrin council in the Bible, you know, we always think they all oppose God, but I want to tell you, Paul was a Pharisee, and he felt that way, and he was taught that way in the Judaism religion. But when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and he received the truth, everything changed. Hallelujah. Not all Pharisees behaved this way. Their leaders opposed Jesus. But I want to let you know, many Pharisees began to believe in Jesus. They realized that God sent Jesus, so they trusted him. As Jesus pointed out to them, however scrupulous they were in following the finer points of all of these rules, they fail to measure up to God's standards. You have neglected the most important matter of the law, which is love, compassion, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You remember when God opened the doors to the Gentiles, and a Gentile is anything other than a Jew, and it was important under the Judaism teaching that all males had to be circumcised, and the Pharisees start telling the Gentiles once they were saved that they couldn't receive salvation unless they'd be circumcised. Now, circumcision was in the law, but I'm trying to get you to see something. Yes, circumcision was in the law, but after Jesus came and the Gentiles weren't circumcised, circumcision wasn't going to make them more saved than not saved. It's the point, and that's what Paul taught. But God said through his son Jesus, for us living today, when you look at circumcision, don't think about the Bible say circumcision that was done with hands, but do think of circumcision that's done through the Holy Spirit in your heart. When you think of circumcision, it means to take away the excess. So, you know, we want the Holy Ghost to circumcise our heart, remove things from our heart that's not necessary, move things from our heart that get in the way from us being the best that we can be. Remove the things that keeping us from being one of God's best. Even with all of the laws and the intentions and everything, the law was our schoolmaster until Jesus came. But God is telling us through Jesus Christ, I am showing you a more excellent way. And that's the background for tonight. And if we get in the scriptures, verses 15 through 20, I'm going to read. If you have your Bible, open it up to Luke, the 14th chapter. And anyone that attends Sunday school on Sundays, this lesson we are doing tonight is the Sunday school lesson for Sunday. So if you go to Sunday school, you have your Sunday school book, you've been studying your Sunday school lesson, you know, you should know, you know, where it's coming from. So Luke, the 15th chapter through the 20th, and the scripture reads as follows. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these sayings, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, that's what the man said to Jesus. That blesses the man who will be at the kingdom of God. Then Jesus said to him, a certain man made a great supper and bid many. 17. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready now. And 18 said, and they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need go and see it. I pray that thee have me excused. And then in 19, another one said, I have bought 5 yokes of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And 20, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Remember the title of our lesson as we go forth. Any excuse that you can make will not be able to hold up. Here we see that the man asked Jesus a question or made a statement. Jesus had just healed the man and he taught about the Sabbath. So when the man asked him, he made the statement, blessed is he that eat meat in the kingdom. Jesus didn't answer him. Really? But he started teaching in another parable. And in doing so, he hoped that they would get an understanding of what he had said earlier, what he had taught earlier, what he wanted them to understand in a parable, a simple story, for to help them get it. Jesus was eating with the Pharisees, and one of them said, "Blessed is he that eat bread in the kingdom of God." Jesus knew that he didn't fully understand who would eat in the kingdom of God and how do you get the privilege to be there. See, Jesus didn't respond to his statement but began speaking a parable, hoping that he would understand who will enter and what they must do to enter. You see, in this parable, the master of the house is a metaphor of God. The great banquet is the kingdom of God. And the first invited guest in the parable was the Jewish nation. You see, the kingdom was prepared for them. But when Jesus came teaching that the kingdom of heaven is near, he was rejected. Y'all know that his own people rejected him. Even when he went to Jerusalem to teach, you know, they didn't listen. When Jesus died, his brothers didn't even believe that he was the Messiah. James and Jude did not, his brothers did not accept him till after he had resurrected from the dead and did an appearance to them after his death. You see, John 1:11 says he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. You see, the master in his parable sent his servants out when the banquet was ready. You see, back then, all who were invited was already invited. The banquet preparation back then may have taken a year or so. So what the person would do would send out an invitation about a banquet that would take place. And when the master would get everything ready for the banquet, he would send his servant out and tell all the people, "Look, everything is ready, now come." So all of these people that made these excuses had been previously invited and probably accepted. And some time had passed, but now the master is saying the banquet is ready. He sends them out to the people who had previously received the invitations in advance, and those are the ones that began to make excuses. You see, but the excuses for skipping the banquet, they were like jokes. No man buy land without seeing it first. And the same could be same for buying oxen. And what exactly would keep a newly married couple from attending a social event? You see, all these excuses in the parable reveal insincerity on the part of those invited. You know, something just came to mind, you know, sometime while I was dealing with my class reunion, and we were looking for all of the people that had graduated with us to try to get them to be a part of it. And some of the people, you know, were Christians, but they were... I don't know how to say it. Well, anyway, they were Christians and they were holy, you know, holy, holy. And when, you know, was asked if they would come and join the reunion celebrations, they said that they couldn't come because they had to pray on it and they had to wait for an answer from God. So that's, you know, by teaching on excuses, you know, that came to my mind, and it happens, you know, sometime. You see, the interpretation in which the Jews of Jesus' day had no valid excuse for not accepting Jesus' message. In fact, they were the very person who should have accepted him as their Savior. But they didn't. And you see, none of these excuses is going to hold up. So if we look at 21 through 23, and they say, so the servant came and showed his Lord these things. The man who went out, the servant sent him out. The master sent him out, the servant went out. And you know, the people made the excuses. He came back, and he told the master. And the scripture says, then the master of the house began to become angry and said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and the lands in the street and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt, which is somebody who can't walk, and the blind. And 22 said, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou had commanded. You see, he invited the Jewish nation. And the man who made the statement earlier in the scripture, he said, blessed is the man who will eat in the kingdom. Because, you know, the Jews believed they had special privileges. And in a sense, they did. But there's a rule of who will enter. And you don't have to be Jewish, and Jewish don't enter just because they're Jew. And you see, so the master had gave the invitation to them way ahead of time. See, because the Jews has been getting Jesus teaching and everything, because the Gentiles even back then weren't allowed in the synagogues. So they had the first invitation, the children of God, the Israelites, the chosen nation. But they didn't accept it. So now we see the Lord telling the servant, go back out and go get the people out the street, the blind, the maimed, the poor. And the servant said, it is done as thou had commanded. And he went and did that, and he brought them in, and yet there was still room. You see, the Lord is our God and master in this parable. And the metaphor he's trying to get you to see is how God has prepared a place for all of us. And we have to accept the invitation and not make excuses. You see, God is our Lord and master, and he prepared a great supper for his guests, which is us who believe. And the wedding feast of the Lamb, if you know in Revelation, Jesus is coming back for his bride, and they're going to have a great banquet and a feast, and all those who accepted Christ will attend. They're talking about this banquet. That's why banquet is used in, you see, at this time, at God's banquet, he will accept all who accepted his son and who have received his grace. You see, Jesus came to teach about God's kingdom and what we need to do to enter. You see, and Jesus do the ten, you know, all of the teaching that he did. God has a summon, and it is his will that all sorts of men be saved. Then he allowed his son to come and teach us what is the kingdom of God and how we get there. Then God gives his summon to the Holy Spirit, who was left on earth to convict us and to call us to God and to give us revelation and illumination of the things of God. So you see, God gives the summon to the Holy Ghost, and that's why the Holy Ghost is the one that's knocking on your heart, asking you to open it. The Holy Ghost is always coming to those who are not saved. He came to you. He came to me. He's going to everybody to accept Jesus Christ with an invitation. Come on, y'all. The Holy Ghost is the one who gave the invitation to everyone. As he tell him, whosoever will, let him come. You see, God's banquet, in a way God operate, he don't have no respect to person. There's no big I's and no little U's. And you see, no excuse that anyone will give will be accepted. It is God's will that everyone be saved. But in his ultimate wisdom, being omniscient, all-knowing, he know everybody wouldn't be saved, but it's his will. But he know everybody will not accept. But I came to tell you today what excuse you're making. When that time comes, it will not be able to hold up. Because you're going to be done either did or you didn't. And excuses, it's not going to have any place in it. You see, God is long-suffering, and he patiently waits for everyone to hear and choose. You see, because of his timing over the history of man, some believe that maybe Jesus is not even coming. You know, they say, how long? We've been waiting for Jesus. The people in the Old Testament been waiting. Us in the New Testament is waiting. But no man know the date, the hour, or the time. But I came to tell you tonight, Jesus is coming back. And he has a prepared place. You know, in Psalms 23, they say that, he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And if we look at the last verses, verses 23 through 20 and 24, and the Lord said unto the servant, okay, he gave the invitation to the Jews first. We read the excuses that they made. He gave the invitation out to the poor, the lame, the blind, the ones who couldn't walk. And maybe all of them received the invitation because they were so glad to be invited in that someone even thought of them in their state to even ask. So the Bible doesn't say, but maybe all of those that they could find accepted and came, but yet they still had room at the table. Hallelujah. And then when we see 23 and 24, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. 24, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Everyone who refused to accept the invitation that is so graciously given unto you. Whosoever will, let him come. You see, today there are so many places that's so far. They got remote countries, they got tiny villages, and they got very small islands and other places that we could not even imagine exist. But watch this. God will not allow Jesus to return until everyone, no matter how far, gets the opportunity to hear God's message so that no one will be able to say they didn't know. This lets us know. And the other week, the lesson of the week in Sunday school about the first can be last and the last can be first. There are people who live, let's say in New Orleans or Louisiana, and they've been hearing the word of God on the TV, the people on the corner, the churches is everywhere. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. and yet they haven't accepted Christ as their Savior. But they might find a tiny village with less than 300 people living there, and they hear the word once and they receive it, and they end. The first can be last, and the last can be first. This is why all of us need to be about our Father's business, telling everyone that we can about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation. If you take care of God's business, He will take care of yours. And I want you to know that Jesus can't return for us until everyone has heard the message. And I want to ask you tonight, are you doing your part? And no excuse that you make will be able to hold up. You know, you can't say, oh, my job, I had to work too many hours, so I couldn't study your word. You're not going to be able to say, yeah, I saw the lady and looked like, you know, she needed a pair of shoes, but, you know, I was late for work and I couldn't stop. I saw someone that was thirsty, but I didn't give him a drink. There will be no excuses, brothers and sisters, that we can tell God that's going to hold up. You see, God has done and is doing and has promised all that He has promised to do. See, God is doing His part. Not a question that I ask tonight. What about you? That's our lesson for tonight. And we have a good little bit of time. If anyone would like to say something, to add to it, to give words of encouragement, to ask for prayer, to pray, to sing, you could do so at this time. Remember, this is our Bible study. All of us has an equal part in this Bible study. You know, sometimes you could say something that a person could get it better than being said by me. I never forgot the time when we were talking about how we point fingers and judge others, and we was talking about judgment. And a lady on the show, she pressed the button, and she said she saw a young lady with a ring in her tongue, or maybe, you know, a tongue in her nose, and she began to tell a lady how wrong it was, and she shouldn't do it, and you know, God didn't like it. You know, she became the judge and the jury. And it was a young lady. And the young lady looked at her and let her finish saying everything she said. She said, what is the difference? She said, you have four earrings in each one of your ear. She said, so the position or where you put them makes the difference? Because you have them on, it's all right, but not for me. And when she said that, you know, a lot of listeners looked at it as, okay, I got it. So sometimes you could just interject something that will help others, you know, in a way that I may not be able to reach them. You could add something to what is being said. But in our lesson tonight, God's saying that everyone is invited to accept at His table if you accept His Son. And then He was also given the master about how you invite people. And this came up, you know, last week with some people. the lady was saying, you see the man who gave the banquet, he only invited the rich and thing like that, which we know that it was the rich and probably famous people, because the second level he went to the poor, and then the third level he went to the people far away from their town. But the thing is, we have to examine ourselves with that. Yes, he did invite a certain class of people, but that was his people. When you get ready to give a celebration, you invite who you invite. But she was making a statement about, you know, the people he invited, but really and truly we invite who we invite. But, you know, and that's always been, but just don't forget about everybody else. I'm not saying, you know, you have to invite them to your party, but don't forget about the lame, the crippled in our everyday lives and people that's far. And that's why we have so many evangelists that goes out, because, see, God said everybody got to hear the word. And these evangelists go to these towns you never heard of and you can't imagine. Then God allowed it to go on TV, and the TV station is going in to all of these remote countries, and he gave the internet because, you see, he's not going to leave no wheel unturned. So anybody could have the opportunity to say, I didn't get it, I didn't hear it. And it may be some people right here in our hometown that won't get it or won't receive it unless you give it to them. So we have to keep that in mind. And as we go out and do our Father's business and be a part of the body of Christ, helping the kingdom of God, and really when you do things like that, you're really saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come. Lord Jesus, come. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button, and I'll open up the mic. If not, anyone would like to pray as we get ready to leave, you can press the one button. So I'm going to do a benediction that's dear to my heart. And as we prepare, we got buttons. Caller, your number is 504-606-24. Your mic is open.
Hi, Sister Diane. This is Sister Gordon. I'm asking for prayer for my mother and my family. Keep me in prayer with my mother.
You will definitely do that, and I'm so glad to have you on the line. Sister Gordon is one of my church. We go to church and we fellowship together on Sunday, and God has arranged that we could be together on Wednesday. Ain't God awesome?
Yes, he
Hallelujah.
Is all the time.
Thank you. Yes, and so we'll definitely remember to pray for your mother and your family. I have another caller. Your number is 985-774-71. Your mic is open.
Hello, Sister Diane. I just want to ask prayers for my son's father. He's still in the hospital in ICU.
Okay, we'll definitely lift that up, too.
Thank
you for calling in tonight.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone who would like to say anything or ask for prayers? Well, I was going to do a benediction, but now I'll go into prayer because of the request. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, we come to your throne of grace once more and again. Heavenly Father, I pray and I thank you for the word that went out, and I pray that you don't let it return void, but that the people will receive illumination and revelation about your word, what you're trying to say to us, and what you're trying to teach us, dear God, that our hearts is open and our mind is regulated and fixed on the things of God. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm asking you for prayer. Lord, right now we have Sister Gordon want prayer for her mother. Sister Diane need prayers for her son, Father, Lord. And I'm asking for prayer for me. Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon each one of these situations, dear God, because you are healer, you're a heart fixer, mind regulator, and you could supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. And not just Sister Gordon, mother, but her family as well, and the family of Sister Diane McBride and the family of Lamont Chambers as they deal with the grief of losing their loved one. Lord, I know you on the scene, and nothing can happen that take you by surprise. And you promise never to leave us and never to forsake us. And let your word be our strength in these times, dear God. Lord, I know you able, and you will see each and every one of them through. Continue to bless us, dear God, and the blessings we need of. Give us more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so as we go forward with Wednesday night Bible study, it could be what you want it to be, that we could reach the total intended purpose of the design that you have when you allow this to be. Thank you, dear God. Lord, I ask all the blessings for everyone that's on the line. Lord, bless their health, bless their finances, dear God, bless their homes, bless their children, dear God, bless their neighborhoods, dear God, bless their cities and the states, and Lord, look down upon our country. We need you, Lord, more than we need you, Lord. We need you, and I know you know. So, Lord, I'm going to just trust and look to the hills from where cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. I know you're in control, and you're going to work it out together for our good. I don't know how. I don't know when, but I know you will. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others, I ask in Jesus' name for all of our sakes. And let the people say amen. And if it's God's will, we'll be back on next week, same time, same station. And I'm asking that each and every one of you please pray for me, because your prayers changes things. That's it for tonight. And as you go, I'm asking that you grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord, because that is what's going to see you through. Amen, and thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Good night.